Five Things First Thing with JR Morning's Chris Renwick, Lloyd Jackson, and Jamie Edmonds.
Welcome in. 6:05. Good to have you here on a Tuesday. It's nice to be back. Lloyd with the rest of the week off, so flying solo. Renee Vitale here, Brian, Jason, the whole crew. I got to tell you, we were watching the World Cup last night. And if you, even for somebody as curmudgeon as Brian, you have to be excited about penalty kicks in the World Cup. Shaking his head, doesn't care at all. That people, this guy's out of his mind. There maybe isn't anything more exciting in sports than penalty kicks in the World Cup on the biggest stage. I mean, my kids were absolutely enthralled by it. Germany loses for the first time to Paraguay in penalty kicks in World Cup history. It's never happened before for Germany. And obviously one of the favorites in this tournament gets bounced in the round of 32. Paraguay advances. Brazil even survived a late onslaught. So these games are only getting better and better. And again, now we're in the stage, we're out of group play. So these things get tighter, more anxious, and a lot of drama. Meanwhile, the Lions have released Terrion Arnold. And this comes after his arrest and this $1 million bond that was set by the judge in Hillsborough County that's overseeing his case. That $1 million bond requires him to surrender his passport, avoid contact with the co-defendants and witnesses in this case, and remain confined to his residence except for legal approved reasons, which would be work, so professional activities, although now he won't be able to do that because he is no longer a member of the Detroit Lions. And just as a reminder, prosecutors say Terrion Arnold played a role in orchestrating this abduction and assault of three men who he suspected, he and these other folks that he was with, of stealing jewelry, luxury bags, cash from an Airbnb he was renting in the Tampa area. And he wasn't present during those attacks. And his attorneys say that prosecutors don't have enough evidence to show that he knew what would have happened when these people got to his rental. And so the Lions just decided to cut bait. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. I mean, just on the football field alone, it's unfortunate that this didn't work out. He was drafted here in the city of Detroit during our draft here. And it just never materialized for Terrion Arnold. He struggled early in his rookie season, banged up the rest of the way, and it never worked out. And the Lions just decided to cut bait here. So Terrion Arnold will not be able to take advantage of that court's direction by going to work as a way to get out of his house. Jalen Duren, meanwhile, this is a fascinating look. Pistons center Jalen Duren. This has now become one of the bigger storylines of NBA free agency because these contract talks have reportedly stalled. Now, there are a number of reports say that Jalen Duren was underwhelmed by the Pistons' initial offer, and he is exploring sign-and-trade opportunities, meetings with Sacramento, the Lakers as well, as he's looking for a long-term big-money deal. And this comes after an all-NBA season, an all-star appearance. He was really not good in the postseason. But the Pistons say that they still want to keep him. And there are obviously interests in from other teams. I mean, he is a wonderful player and really kind of just getting started. But the Pistons do still hold the leverage here. Because Jalen Duren is a restricted free agent, he can, and the Pistons can match competing offers. So if he gets a better deal somewhere else, the Pistons can match it. But look, I'm not even really interested in going down, well, what happens if Jalen Duren leaves or he's gone? What do we do? I'm not even interested in that yet because I'm not so sure that's going to happen. But the Pistons are trying to make an offer that fits for them. It's not working for Jalen Duren in his camp. Okay, fine. You try to continue those conversations. Worst case scenario, I think the Pistons probably would match, but it's a money's game at that point. Tigers, while we're on the sports front, they win last night, 7-3 over the Yankees in New York. It's the opening game of that series. How about Casey Mize? 10 strikeouts over 7 innings. Just one base runner. He had a leadoff double in the third inning, but otherwise completely shut down the Yankees. And they are on the bit of a struggle bus lately. But that's the Yankees' fifth consecutive loss. Nice one for the Tigers. And they scored 5 unearned runs. Kevin McGonigal had a couple of RBI. Dylan Dingler with a double, sac fly, run scored. Spencer Torkelson with an RBI. This is where, like, those bats coming alive are really going to help you. And they didn't, Jason, the long ball wasn't really in play yesterday in that bam box at Yankee Stadium.
No, not at all. And we got Skubal tonight.
What do you think of Casey Mize? What happens to Casey Mize here? I'm worried.
What happens to him?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, what are we looking at down the road here?
Oh, what is he going to be?
No. What are we looking at come trade deadline?
Oh, well, I mean, if Skubal stays.
Well, if Skubal stays, then Casey Mize stays.
Well, they
won't move Mize.
I think if they can put together some wins and Skubal ends up staying, they've got to somehow add a bat or two at the trade deadline. Would they give up a Casey Mize for that? I don't know.
I mean, he seems to have found it a little bit.
Yeah, he has.
So that's my concern, is you've got Skubal looking Skubal-ish. Like, the numbers are good. He's had a couple of rough outings. He gave up those 6 home runs in his first 3 games back. But I really
kind of feel like nobody's safe.
No, I don't feel like anybody's safe. No.
Which they shouldn't be.
No, and they shouldn't be. But again, it's like, who's going to bring the most value? Skubal, number one. And then probably Casey Mize.
Certainly no one from the bullpen is going to bring value.
Nobody from the bullpen is going to bring any value, and you don't want to give up any bats.
You can't, yeah.
So, I mean, you're looking to move a pitcher potentially.
Yeah.
But this is the dance that Scott Harris needs to do, because you want to try to make a push. You want to try to add some offense, but you don't want to give up any pitchers. And again, your starting rotation is the only bright spot. And that's a loose term at this point.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's a tough spot.
Jack Flaherty, by the way, has come on a little bit.
Well, he just came back from injury Sunday.
Yes.
Yep.
But even before the injury, he looked like he found a little bit of something.
He's hit or miss, but I'll tell you what, they could get somebody for Jack Flaherty, I would deal him.
I agree.
He has playoff experience. He's won a World Series.
Yep, I agree with that. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is sending Jared Kushner, Steve Witkoff, their special envoys, to Qatar for these high-level talks with Iranian officials in Doha to preserve this fragile diplomatic agreement. And we've seen the back and forth of the military actions that have been taken over the last couple of days. But Donald Trump says that this meeting is going to be pretty important here. And the urgency from both of these sides, obviously with the hostilities, the escalation in these hostilities, CENTCOM saying it conducted strikes on Iranian territory in response to attacks on commercial cargo vessels. And that has been going on over the last couple of days. But the talks in Doha are a litmus test, in my mind, on whether or not the diplomacy that has been laid out is going to work. And the escalating rhetoric, particularly from the Iranian side, if that is going to be stomached by the likes of Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, obviously working on behalf of the president, but still something to watch. Also, in a 5-4 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld a Mississippi law that allows mail-in ballots to be counted if they are postmarked by Election Day and received within 5 days afterward. The president was not happy with it, just as Amy Coney Barrett wrote for that majority, and concluded that federal election laws require voters to cast their ballots by Election Day, but do not require election officials to receive those ballots by that date, something the president has talked ad nauseum about. We'll talk to Matthew Snyder coming up at 7:19.
5 Things First Thing with JR Morning on 760 WJR.